Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
But first today, to the escalating Israeli-Gaza conflict. The UN chief appeals to both sides to find common ground. The hostilities have continued unabated today. Israel has stepped up strikes from air and sea as it pursues its offensive to halt cross-border rocket fire from Hamas and other militant groups. Meanwhile, Hamas continues to fire rockets deep into Israel. The US State Department is urging restraint on all sides. The UN Security Council is holding an emergency meeting. I'm joined by Yusel Al-Helout, a journalist in Gaza, and from Doha by Rachel Shabi, a journalist and author of Not the Enemy, Israel's Jews from Arab Lands. Let me go to you first, Yusel, in Gaza. The Israeli offensive has intensified in the past 24 hours. Will you describe to us what you're seeing and hearing on the ground in Gaza?
Israel's ongoing military assault, dubbed by Tel Aviv as Operation Protective Edge against Gaza, continues to claim more civilian lives. According to the health ministry in Gaza, the death toll keeps rising. It stands now at 86 people killed, including 22 children, 15 women, 12 elderly, in addition to over 600 Palestinians who have been wounded. The vast majority of these statistics are totally civilians. Israel has intensified its assaults, targeting residential houses throughout the coastal territory. Drones do not leave the sky of Gaza. F-16s, Apaches, warships, tanks take part in this ongoing aggression against Gaza, which is known to be the world's largest open-air prison. 2 million people are trapped in Gaza, unable to leave. The warships from time to time fire shells at different locations across the besieged territory. People here, they suffer from frequent power cuts. Services are badly affected. Streets, roads are deserted except from some people who go to buy some needs. Sirens of ambulances could be heard all the time. There is a sense of panic and fear. The hospitals are crowded. The morgue is full of bodies. People, they expect an urgent intervention on part of the international community, which they lost faith in because this aggression has been going on for the past 3-4 days, and more escalation is expected.
The Egyptians have now reopened the main border crossing into Gaza. Will that help matters at all?
It will help to transfer the wounded to the Egyptian hospitals, but the Palestinians of Gaza, of course, they were expecting from Egypt to keep the crossing open most of the time, since it is Gaza's only gateway to the outside world. Now, despite Israel's ongoing aggression on Gaza, you will not see Palestinians fleeing Gaza, because they are not going to become refugees a second time after they were forced to flee their original hometowns and villages back in 1948. So Israel is doing a little. The Palestinians of Gaza expect Egypt to do more.
Palestinians in Gaza have been through this before. Is there any semblance now of normality, of daily life? Are children still getting up and going to school? Are those who have jobs still getting up and going to their jobs?
Well, the footage and scenes of destruction and bloodshed in Gaza has become the norm. I mean, the ordinary Palestinians here, obviously they have dreams, they have aspirations, they have children, they have jobs to do. But from time to time, we see frequent military aggression on Gaza from time to time. And obviously, you see the Palestinian groups or factions here, they retaliate by firing their homemade rockets into the Israeli depths. Now, they fear that from the worst to come, especially if Israel decided to invade Gaza from the eastern and northern part of Gaza. But obviously, it's not going to be a picnic party. The resistance groups say that the Israeli threats will not deter them, and Gaza is going to be a very bad place. Obviously, it's a killing zone. 2 million people live in one of the most densely populated spots on Earth.
The Israeli reservists have been called out. How great is the fear now of that ground offensive going ahead?
According to analysts, they say it's not in the favor of Israel to invade Gaza. It's going to be a hard job because, obviously, the retaliatory Hamas rockets continue to be fired from Gaza. So there is no guarantee if the Israeli military invades Gaza, then these rockets will continue to fly. So Israel is going to be embarrassed if it invades Gaza. And it will, it's not going to be an easy job. And obviously, Israel is so worried from Palestinian attempts of kidnapping Israeli soldiers.
Is there any sign, Yusel, that the Egyptians will, as has happened in the past, be involved in negotiating a truce here?
So far, mediation efforts have failed to put pressure on the Israelis or on Hamas, obviously because the relationship is tense between Hamas and the new Egyptian regime led by Sisi. We heard some mediation efforts might exercised by the Turks, by Turkey, but so far there's no news on this, and we know the UN Security Council is convened today to see the latest developments and urge both sides to restrain. Obviously, it's not in the interest of anybody to see more civilians killed on both sides. The Palestinians say that they are defending themselves with the available means. Israel retaliating with its military might, using Apaches, F-16s, drones, warships, etc.
Yusel Al-Halout in Gaza, thank you very much for joining us this evening. I want to talk as well now to Rachel Shabi, journalist and author of Not the Enemy, Israel's Jews from Arab Lands. Rachel, you've written extensively on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict, and we're into another round of violence, escalating rhetoric as well. You make a point in your writings of a vengeful climate that has crept into Israel. Are you talking about a new dimension?
It's not necessarily a new dimension, but it does seem that every time we see an escalation of this nature, and of course the last time we saw this was only a couple of years ago in 2012, when Israel launched another military assault on Gaza, each time it seems like the mood within Israel has hardened and become more extreme and become more hard right. And we are, of course, now looking at the most hard right government coalition in Israel's history. It is the most settler enabling. It is the most expansionist in the West Bank and the least likely to seek a diplomatic solution and the creation of a Palestinian state. So in that climate, we can see the kind of rhetoric that those officials, Israeli officials, put out into the public. It's no great surprise that the public on the street also then becomes more extreme and more hardline.
You point as well, Rachel, in writing about that vengeful climate, you point back to the kidnapping and killing of the three Israeli boys and then the killing of the Palestinian boy and how that was, I hate to use the expression, handled or spun by the various sides and particularly by the Israelis. Tell me about what you mean.
Well, the problem with that, of course, is that, you know, an international media is just as guilty of this, is that, you know, where is our point where it all began? And, of course, international attention focused on the Israeli teenagers who were kidnapped and then killed in the West Bank. That was the starting point. But it didn't really, you know, take into account anything that happened for Palestinians before that start point. So, for instance, that, you know, just a month earlier, two Palestinian teenagers were killed by Israeli snipers at a demonstration, or that, you know, 18 Palestinians had been killed in the first 3 months of 2014. So again, it's setting it up as though Israel is always responding to attacks that Palestinians initiate. And that's a narrative that played out during the entire few weeks when those Israeli teenagers were missing and then killed, and then when the Palestinian teenager in East Jerusalem was found burned alive in what was perceived as a revenge attack. That was the dynamic that was set up then, and you can see that it's continued into our coverage of the Gaza attacks now. Again, Israel is always portrayed as responding to attacks that the Gaza Strip initiates.
And you go right back to Benjamin Netanyahu and the rhetoric coming from Netanyahu, from his officials and from his Likud party.
Yeah, I mean, the trouble is that, you know, it's obviously right at the time when the teenagers were discovered to be dead. And to be clear, it is now certain that Israeli officials knew that those teenagers were likely dead weeks before they let that information go public, which means that the entire campaign, the entire military campaign in the West Bank in the name of looking for those teenagers, at which point Palestinians were arrested, injured, and killed. All that time, they knew that those teenagers were probably dead, and at the same time persuaded the Israeli public to launch this huge and very emotional campaign, you know, that was rightly centered around bringing those teenagers back alive. Mm-hmm. Again, when officials knew that they were dead. So there is a certain amount of manipulation, emotional manipulation going on there by Netanyahu and his coalition, which does seem to me to be a little bit irresponsible and actually quite dangerous.
And if the tensions are being ratcheted up, as you say, by Prime Minister Netanyahu, would you also say the same is happening within Gaza by Hamas and in the West Bank as well by Abbas?
Well, this is exactly what happens. Once you get into this kind of cycle of war, you know, once you get into an official declared Israeli offensive in Gaza, that violence is going to create its own momentum and everybody will dig their heels in. So once that starts, Hamas, which of course is already weak in the Gaza Strip, it's politically weak. It's lost all the allies that it had a couple of years ago because of the changing geopolitical situation. And it is not that popular in Gaza. So it sees that it has to dig its heels in. And that, you know, being as hardline as Israeli officials will be a path to gaining more support amongst its own constituency. So that just creates its own cycle and its own momentum where everybody becomes more and more entrenched and the situation shows no sign of ending.
Rachel Sharby, thank you very much for joining us on the programme.